first reading is from 2 Kings 2, verses 1 through 12. A reading from 2 Kings. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and you live yourself, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went, and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to one side and to the other, until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet, if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted to you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. This morning's psalm is Psalm 50, 1 to 6. The Mighty One, God the Lord, has spoken, calling the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, perfect in its beauty, God shines forth in glory. Our God will come and will not keep silence, with a consuming flame before and round about a raging storm. God calls the heavens and the earth from above to witness the judgment of the people. Gather before me my loyal followers, those who have made a covenant with me and sealed it with sacrifice. The heavens declare the rightness of God's cause, for it is God who is judge. The second reading is from 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 to 6, a reading from 2 Corinthians. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Here ends the second reading.
Our gospel reading this morning is from Mark chapter 9, verses 2 to 9, the Holy Gospel according to Mark. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice. This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him. Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The Gospel of our Lord. The Transfiguration story is one of my favorites. And I think the reason why I enjoy it so much is because of the rich imagery that it provides. You can almost imagine yourself being there in that moment on that mountaintop. So, I invite you to close your eyes and relax and envision that you are Peter climbing Mount Hermon with Jesus, James, and John. You have been walking for hours, but the walk has done little to relax your mind. For it was only last week that Jesus informed you and the rest of the disciples of the struggle he was about to face. He said that he was going to suffer greatly, be rejected by the chief priests and elders, and hung on a cross where he would die, but then rise again 3 days later. You were very upset and angry when Jesus told you of his future, and you responded harshly to him. Jesus rebuked you, saying that you were setting your mind on human things, not the divine. You know that he is the Messiah, but you do not fully understand what that means. As you make your way up the mountain, you cannot get Jesus' words out of your mind. This man called Jesus has become your best friend. You have watched him preach and teach. He has healed hundreds, if not thousands, of people. He has fed the multitudes with nothing more than 5 fish and some bread. The work that you did and were doing with Jesus was just the beginning. There was still so much more to do. But now he says that he's going to die and then be resurrected. You see the pain and oppression of a broken world all around you. How will Jesus dying make the world a better place? No one speaks as the journey continues. It is now mid-afternoon, and the sun's heat is unrelenting. You are glad for the light breeze that cools you every now and again. There is a faint smell in the air of wildflowers, and you notice bees hovering nearby, gathering nectar to take back to their hive. All you hear are the footsteps of your friends and the gentle swoosh of Jesus' darkly colored tunic moving in rhythm to his footsteps. Why did Jesus ask you to come with him today? Why is this climb so important? You look ahead and see that you are nearing the top of the mountain, where you will be glad to sit and rest for a while. Suddenly, there is a bright and radiant light shining directly in front of you. You shield your eyes to try to see what is going on, and Jesus is still there in front of you, but he has changed. He is surrounded by light, and his tunic has changed from being darkly colored to a brilliant color of white. You are mesmerized and captivated by the brightness of the light. And Jesus is then joined by Moses and Elijah, the great Jewish prophets of Hebrew scripture. Moses, who climbed Mount Sinai to receive the laws and commandments from God. And Elijah, the great prophet who challenged Baal on behalf of God at Mount Carmel in 1 Kings. These great prophets were said to have avoided death and ascended directly into heaven. In this moment, you realize you are on holy ground in the privileged company of these prophets who shared an intimacy with God. You have conflicting emotions of fear and astonishment. You are afraid of what you are witnessing, but you also want this moment to last forever. So much so that you wanted to build 3 tents or tabernacles as a shrine or a meeting place. As you are pondering these thoughts, the sky suddenly turned dark and a great cloud appeared. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." God was speaking directly to you in James and John, proclaiming Jesus' identity and calling you to trust and listen to him. Then, as quickly as the transfiguration began, it was over. Jesus is again walking in front of you, and he orders you to remain quiet about the events of the day. You resume your journey down the mountain, knowing that a change has taken place. Jesus has changed, and so have you. You reflect on the mystery and awe of the day, feeling confused, wondering what your call is in the world in response to the glory which was shared with you. The mystery of the Transfiguration began with the season of Epiphany, where the manifestation of Jesus' identity was revealed at Jesus' baptism. God proclaimed to Jesus in Mark chapter 1, verse 11, stating, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." On this day, the day of Transfiguration, surrounded by the beauty and majesty of the mountaintop, the disciples were witness to the glory and divinity of Jesus Christ in God proclaiming Jesus' identity to the few who had gathered with him. The light that day revealed who Jesus was and is. Jesus was the Messiah, and the struggles, persecutions, and death that he would face were essential to his mission as the Messiah. The mission called Jesus to journey towards the cross. And the disciples were also called to do so, and we are called to do the same. This coming week, we will celebrate Ash Wednesday. Together, though apart, we will make the sign of the cross on our foreheads and remember that we are dust, and to dust we shall return. Our journey through life will also be full of struggles and challenges, but we have faith, knowing that the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ will accompany us throughout our earthly life, giving us hope for all that is to come. As we begin this season of Lent this week, we are called to take up our crosses and follow Jesus Christ. We are called to be transformed and changed into a new way of thinking and understanding our world. The light of that Transfiguration day, after shining on Jesus, also shone on the disciples, calling them to continue their work in the world. That light shines on us as well. As disciples, we are called to share the radical and unconditional love of Jesus Christ in loving one another. We are called to listen to the pleas and plights of those around us who struggle and suffer. And we are called to raise our voices and offer understanding, compassion, and justice to all who have been othered by society. Taking up our crosses is an active act we choose every day. It is forgiving those who have hurt us. It is proclaiming the gospel in word and deed. It is letting go of our pride and the need for power and domination. It is living in the light of Christ that sets our hearts on fire. It is the good news. It is the mountaintop experience. And for that I say, thanks be to God. Amen. Our hymn of the day is How Good, Lord, It Is to Be Here, and it is from the ELW, hymn number 315.